It's basically the same deal, except we get a free keg of beer for our meeting.
Yay!
And in exchange for that, we have to give up our dental plan.
So long, dental plan! Dental plan!
Lisa needs braces.
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 Bullseye!
Thanks a lot, Carl. Now I've lost my train of thought.
Dental plan!
Lisa needs braces.
Dental plan!
Lisa needs braces.
If we give up our dental plan, I'll have to pay for Lisa's braces!
Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or just making life in the rural city more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today I talk to Peggy Nichols and Dana Nutley. They are two local promoters of oral health and advocates for more government services in the realm of dental care. The provincial election is winding down, but if you're looking for a make or break issue, perhaps you can think about the needs of so many people in our community that are economically blocked from getting good and regular dental medicine. Putting our money where our mouths are is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. The 2015 Oral Health Report that was put together by Wellington Dufferin Guelph Public Health painted a fairly bleak picture for the teeth of people in our three counties. For instance, by grade 2, almost half of WDG children will have experienced tooth decay. Approximately one-fifth of WDG residents do not brush their teeth twice a day as recommended. Approximately one-third of WDG residents experience teeth sensitivity, and one-tenth experience bleeding gums. Income is a barrier to receiving oral care. 70% of low-income Guelph residents reported that dental treatment was recommended to them, which they cannot afford. Having dental insurance helps to overcome the cost of dental care. However, approximately two-thirds of WDG residents and less than one-third of seniors have dental insurance. Only 70% of WDG residents have seen a dentist in the last 3 years. And most damning, oral health is associated with heart disease, diabetes, premature delivery, low birth weights, and negative social impacts. And in a survey of low-income Guelph residents, half reported that their poor oral health affected how they felt about themselves, and over a quarter reported that their oral health needs affect their social relationships and mental health status. Now, a few years before the Oral Health Report, the Poverty Task Force created the Guelph-Wellington Oral Health Action Committee, whose initial focus was on gaining a better understanding of oral health needs of low-income community members and raising awareness about the barriers experienced by this population. The committee is made up of people from the Poverty Task Force, Guelph Community Health Center, County of Wellington, Better Beginnings and Better Futures, and community members with lived experience. Two of those members are Nichols, whose day job is health promoter at Guelph Community Health Center, and Nutley, who is one of those people with that lived experience. So this week on the Guelph Politicast, we'll hear from Nutley about the issues and the barriers when it comes to poor oral health from his firsthand life experience. And we'll hear from Nichols about some of the technical aspects of the advocacy piece and getting more dental health coverage for the people of Ontario in the greatest need. It's interesting to note that all the major party platforms have some kind of government dental plan option, but why has it taken us so long to get here, and what will it take to convince people to make the investment to make sure that so many in our community aren't walking around with literally a mouthful of problems? So I caught up with Peggy Nichols and Dana Nutley last week in the studio. So Peggy Nichols and Dana Nutley, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
So Dana, you were kind of here as our, case, our sort of test case about the advantages of making sure people have good access to oral health care. So can you start talking about your story?
Okay, so my story started probably around 2001. I injured my back, was on heavy-duty amounts of opiates, which proceeded to rot my teeth. And again, I wasn't on ODSP or OW. I'm on WSIB, which, of course, doesn't have benefits. So the teeth just kept on breaking, whatnot. Numerous appointments to the doctor, ER, and really expecting them to step outside their comfort zone because they're not dentists.
Right. There are no dentists in the ER.
Right. and the best they can do is give you penicillin and maybe some painkillers and send you on your way.
Which exacerbates your
problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So my family doctor finally got tired of it, and he said, I'm going to – it was 2 days before Christmas, ironically, and he goes, I'm going to give you the best Christmas present ever. So we sat down. He called a bunch of dentist friends that he knew, found one that was willing to take the chance on doing the oral surgery and then billing – the government, and in hopes that he would get paid, and if not, they decided. So I had the surgery in 2008, and of course, not having benefits, I had to go through the Ontario Works Discretionary Benefits Program. Sounds real nice.
It also sounds like a lot of red tape.
Oh, definitely. from day one, where's your bank? Don't have a bank account, unfortunately. I was using Money Mart. Oh, well, we can't help you, because if you can spend money at Money Mart, you can afford dentures. And I'm like, yeah, there's no correlation between $20 a month at Money Mart and, you know, a $5,000 set of dentures. But and then that became an ordeal on its own, because without proper identification, you can't get the ID, you can't get a bank account without. And no doubt part of it, you know, was on me for delaying it, because, you know, you get frustrated after jumping through all these hoops and you're just, you know, one step forward, two steps back. I eventually got it all straightened out. But we came to 4 years after I'd had the oral surgery. So for 4 years, I'd had no teeth. Go to the OW-sponsored denturist who made me the most horrid. I bet you George Washington's wooden teeth were better than this set that I got. It's basically a kid's plastic shovel with the handle taken off, and then they expected me to stick that in my mouth. Ill-fitting right from the start, way too long, so they were hitting the gag reflex, so I put them in, and I end up spitting them back out right away, you know, and as far as the bottom, because it took so long, the bone is resorbed, so that the only way I could possibly get dentures on the bottom would be through permanent implants, and well, we all know no existing government's going to cover that, so... here I am, you know, almost 10 years in, you know, and again, it comes with its own set of problems. I mean, obviously, I've got digestive problems because I can't properly chew.
Right.
And good luck getting a job when you look like this. You know, nobody wants this to be the face of their organization.
Right.
Fortunately, I live in the Armored Willow neighborhood, and the people at Sheldale Family Gateway, formerly Better Beginnings, Better Futures, they recognize skills, and they're not superficial to say, well, you know, you can't do this. So, I mean, I have a pretty sweet gig as president of Family Gateway at Sheldale. But again, you know, you learn so many different skills doing that kind of thing. And there's so many organizations in this city that I'm more than qualified to do it. But I think this prevents me from, you know, advancing any further than a community volunteer position on a board.
Peggy, not to reduce Dana to a case, but I mean, his story, how much does that sound like some of the stories you hear?
Well, I would like to be able to say that I don't hear that many stories like Dana's, but there are just so many stories. And the way I started hearing stories is I'm a health promoter at the Guelph Community Health Center. And in 2012, we were invited to participate in an oral health postcard campaign that came to us through our Association of Ontario Health Centers and the Ontario Oral Health Alliance. And I thought at the time, I just don't have time. I work part-time. I've already got a full list of things that I'm heavily involved in.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to my supervisor, and she said, I think this is important, and I and I agreed. And so we started handing out these postcards, which basically were calling on the provincial government to begin to address the huge gap in oral health care, particularly for people on low incomes, adults on low incomes and low income seniors. And I have never been involved in a campaign like that where there was so much uptake. Staff who normally weren't involved said, give me more postcards. I hear this story all the time. Mm. I need to get these signed. When I was giving out postcards, people didn't just want to sign them. They wanted to tell their stories. And it was story after story after story like Dana's. And that's when I became aware of how incredibly serious the problem was, not just in other parts of Ontario, because we know that one out of five Ontarians can't afford proper dental care and live with pain and suffering similar to what you've heard from Dana.
Mm-hmm.
But it was this same situation in Guelph. And so the following year in 2013, the Poverty Task Force formed the... they convened the Oral Health Action Committee, which is a committee that I currently chair. And so a number of us came together to continue advocating for oral health care for low-income adults and seniors. And so that's where we are today in the run-up to an election, trying to make sure that all voters are aware mm-hmm. of how serious an issue this is and how important it is that whoever is elected in this upcoming campaign follows up and addresses this problem, and that voters should be aware and think about which candidate they're voting for and which is going to be able to deliver best to address this issue. And please get out and vote.
Absolutely. Double that sentiment. It's taken us a while to get here. I mean, this has sort of been one of these under... the wire, even in this election, where you do have it part of the Liberal platform, part of the Green platform, part of the NDP platform, that we need to have some sort
and of... And part of the PC platform.
Oh, is it?
Yes, they're calling for oral health care for low-income seniors. So
okay.
We would like to see
it's a start.
Several of the parties go farther than what they've committed to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important for voters to remember what the promises are that the different parties are making in this election and then make sure that we hold our elected representatives accountable and push them further maybe than they're currently committed to going.
The right. irony of this whole thing is 2 years ago we met with the Liberal MPP and she looked me right in the eye and said, our government isn't going, we know, but there's no way you're going to get universal oral health care.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, like this is our, elected representative. And she looked me right dead in the face with my plastic dentures in her hand and said, sorry, not sorry, basically. Like, so now it's funny that 2 years later in the middle of an election year, all of a sudden the same government wants to.
Sure.
But we hear this all the time at election.
Right. The issue itself, though, leaving politics aside, even for the PCs to suggest, even on the minimum level, to say this is something we would look at for seniors, that seems to be sort of the toe in the water is we're going to do this for seniors. We saw that with universal pharmacare, for seniors, and we'll try it out. We'll see how good it works, and then maybe for everyone else we'll follow up with that. But I mean, it's taken years to get here, and Dana, your story is proof of that. Like you were trying for a decade just to get a proper set of minimal dentures to chew with.
And getting your foot in the door is great and all, but when realistically it's the prior to 65 during your productive years is when you could probably use a nice set of teeth for a smile and whatnot. You know, not saying seniors don't deserve it, but I don't know.
But what data's addressing too, Peggy, is the economic side of this is that there are so many smart, capable, skilled people from, you know, their 20s to their 40s and onward that who could be of great value in the workforce. There is a practical argument here that people are being sidelined basically because of how they look.
Yeah. So basically, oral health has been left out of overall health care. And what we're saying is that put the mouth back in the body, and and starting with the low income adults and seniors who can't afford it on their own,
mm-hmm.
and definitely it does mean that, you know, we're losing so many productive people from the workforce. People can't, as Dana was saying in his own case, and I've heard from so many other people. We know that people can't get jobs unless they have a nice smile. And once they have a job, even if they're able to get a job, you know, quite often they're missing work because of ongoing infection and pain resulting from a problem that's never addressed at the root cause. So, you know, the root cause is the cavities in the teeth and the infections in the gum. And as Dana was saying, family physicians and ER can only provide painkillers and antibiotics, and that doesn't address that calms the problem down for a while, but it keeps coming back and keeps coming back. And so you know, we're investing $38 million a year just in ER visits.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, the research shows that the Ontario government spent $38 million a year on visits to ER related to oral health problems. We could take that money and put it back into the system in order to address oral health care, right? People need to see a dentist, not an ER doc or a family physician.
Right.
So, and it impacts parenting as well.
Sure.
But there's a huge correlation between heart health and oral health as well.
That's right.
Just so many, like I said, there's digestive problems, and then because your stomach's acting up, you're not sleeping, so you're getting run down. And good luck, you know, trying to keep a positive mental attitude when you've got so many doors slammed in your face.
Right.
So it affects your mental health, your physical health. There's just so many different factors that, you know, it might take a huge chunk out of the mental health budget. If there was proper oral health care,
right.
There might be a lot less coronary issues down the road with proper health care, you know, less people going in for these digestive issues. It seems like it's small, but this is a really big case of ripples,
right?
The ripple effect of universal oral health care. You know, it is huge. It affects so many different facets of daily life that, you know.
It's something we're tiptoeing around.
Yeah.
I think in this election, particularly when we're talking about mental health, we're talking about dental health, pharma health, adding money to healthcare, we've kind of siloed off all these different areas and say, well, we have to fund healthcare, we have to fund dental care, we have to fund mental health. But it's all health.
Yeah.
Yes. It is all health. And one of the impacts of, you know, poor teeth is it affects people's self-esteem. And I've heard stories also of people, you know, not being able to get a job and getting so, and knowing that the problem is their teeth or having to live with chronic pain and it just brings them down, or constantly having physical health issues like heart and digestion and things like that. And that brings people down as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard so many stories about people who've gone into deep depressions, and it started with problems with their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So just to go back a little bit to more of the picture that we have seen in Guelph.
Okay.
We did the oral health. One of the first things the Oral Health Action Committee did was to do a study to try and find out what's the situation here in Guelph. And so in 2015, we published a report. We had surveyed 414 people. We had 414 people respond to our survey. And of those people, 30% reported ongoing pain in the previous 6 months. 58 reported that their oral health needs affected their eating, just like Dana. Mm-hmm. 16% reported their oral health impacts their ability to get a job. 70% were recommended treatment that they couldn't afford, and 34% didn't have access to any dental benefits. And that's not benefits like what you would get from employment, and and it doesn't even include the minimal benefits that people on OW and ODSP get. It's more like what Dana was talking about, where he had absolutely zero help. Right. To address his oral health issues, and he just couldn't afford to pay for them on his own.
And that addresses something, too, that even if you could, you know, a cleaning is, and I know it's still out of reach for some people, but, you know, you're talking about a cleaning, going, just visiting the dentist so we can, you know, clean your teeth and point out what's wrong. We're talking about, you know, $200, $300. And that automatically puts people out. But when you go to the dentist and he says, okay, you have a cavity here, 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 and you need a root canal there, then the potential bill goes way up. And you're just like, okay, great, thanks, dentist. And then have to, you know, live with that knowledge, knowing you can't do anything about it, which goes back to the mental health picture. But let me, in the work, and I'm not saying, I'm not asking if you've done the work, but is there any work that's been done to cost, like how much it would be to just say to Ontario, okay, if you need a dentist, you can go see a dentist. Like how we do have with a doctor now. Like if you need, you know, I realize there are issues with family practitioners, not there not being enough of those, enough GPs to cover everybody. But in a reality where a dentist is, you know, available to everybody, do we know how much that would cost?
I don't have those numbers offhand, but what I can tell you is that we are currently spending, as I mentioned before, $38 million just on ER.
Right.
And there's additional money that's being spent on people going to see family physicians for the same reason. So that, again, there are efficiencies in the system that could be found where money could be redirected. There are dental operatories that are available that are not being fully used in public health units. So if we could, you know, if we could set up perhaps a mixed model of, a private dentist coming in and being paid on the fee schedule that is offered for Healthy Smiles Ontario, like what we're hoping is that we can extend the Healthy Smiles Ontario program that currently exists for children in low-income families up until the day that they turn 18. If we could extend that to older adults and seniors, then that would be a really good start.
Okay. Can you talk about the activism side of this, you know, in not just necessarily appealing to politicians, but I mean, it is an election season, so you're also talking about appealing to voters. It's the numbers alone should indicate that there are a lot of people out there who would like to see more better access to dental care. So, you know, what kind of advocacy things have you been doing?
We've been doing a lot of this type of thing. We've had a letter to the editor in the Guelph Tribune. We've been working with our partners in Waterloo Region. They have a similar oral health coalition in Waterloo Region, where they have been trying to raise the issue through the media there as well. We've been going to various all candidates meetings to raise the issue. We have met with three out of the four representatives from the major provincial parties in the last couple of weeks to address the issue with them. The Poverty Task Force has sent a survey out to all of the provincial candidates and asking them to address questions related to housing and poverty and, you know, what their position is on so many different election concerns, and oral health is one of them. So we're just basically trying to do as much as we can while people are paying attention to these kinds of issues. right now in order to raise awareness and get people thinking about how they're going to vote in this next election. And then making sure that once people have voted and they know what they voted for and who they voted for, that they follow up with candidates and the successful candidate and hold that person and the winning party accountable for the promises they made. And definitely that's something that the Oral Health Action Committee will continue to do in the future, and that's part of the comment that we've been making when we've been meeting with the various political candidates. And I'll just say that we are just one drop in the bucket here in Guelph. There are oral health action committees like ours all across the province, coordinated through the Ontario Oral Health Alliance. And it's by working together in these kinds of ways, raising the issue in Toronto and Guelph and Waterloo and London, Ontario, and Barrie and Sudbury and North Bay and Thunder Bay and Ottawa. You can't get away from these issues, and making sure that the politicians know that this is important to the people of Ontario.
I imagine even up north it's even harder on people with the lack of resources.
It absolutely is, yes. And unfortunately, there are a number of dentists who are not willing to see anybody on OW and ODSP.
Right.
And so they're, just for the limited benefits that are available to low-income adults, often if they have the backing to be able to get some of their issues addressed, even in a small way, sometimes they can't find a dentist who's willing to work with them.
Is that a stigmatization thing, or is that, they have to wrestle with the government to get paid, or
it's a combination of those issues, okay. Which is why one of the things that we're advocating is that we would like to see more funding for public health units and community health centers and Aboriginal health access centers and similar agencies that work with low-income adults and seniors to be funded in order to be able to deliver the services to the people where they are, where they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Are you at all optimistic that this could be a watershed on this issue, or Dana just said a little while ago our member of provincial parliament held your crappy dentures in her hands and said, oh well. I can't imagine that does a lot for your hopefulness in the system.
we've met and again, I guess on the activism side, we met with Kitchener MPPs and our MPP in Guelph, as well as the poverty task force. There's members of all three governments. So we have city councillors, Lloyd Longfield, and Sly Castaldi also sits on the poverty task force. Mm. So as the provincial candidate for the Liberal Party, she's more than well aware of what is going on. I've had the pleasure of, I also volunteer at Breakfast Club, and I've had the pleasure of having Aggie volunteer at Breakfast Club.
Okay.
And every chance I get to tell her my story, whether it be the oral health part or, I could talk about poverty and inequities mm-hmm. forever, but so I've got the NDP are well aware, federal, local, or municipal, federal, and provincial candidates are all, certainly well aware.
And when you say Aggie, you're talking about Aggie who's representing the NDP in Guelph.
Aggie Millers, yeah.
That's okay.
I just have a hard time pronouncing
her last name.
Not her last name so much as her first name.
I think so, she takes that in stride, so don't.
this could be, since all four major parties have it all on their radar, this could be the watershed. Somebody could turn around and go, seniors are fine and well, but right. let's cost this out and see what we can do. And again, if it's only seniors right now, Healthy Smiles covers birth to 18. If we can get seniors covered, And we just got to work on, yeah.
It's more than what we have now, exactly. For sure, yeah.
And then we just got to work on the rest of it.
Yeah. And I'm very optimistic. Change takes a long time. Yeah. You know, as I said, I wasn't really as aware as I should have been, I guess, as a health promoter, how big an issue this is until I personally got involved in 2012. And since then, like, this was not on the radar, as Dana was saying. This was really not on the radar of provincial candidates even a couple of years ago. And so to see all four parties with something in their platform in this election, it makes me realize that the work that we do and the raising public awareness, you know, the public is more aware, politicians are more aware, agencies are more aware. So I'm very optimistic that that we'll be able to move forward on this.
What's the piece to you know, making sure this stays on the radar? How do you hold whoever wins to account, and how do we make sure we move forward?
Exactly what we're doing today. Okay. Right. So after the election, just because the election is over and there's a new party in power, it doesn't mean we all just walk away. We have a responsibility, an ongoing responsibility to pay attention to what our elected representatives are doing and not just close our eyes for the next 4 years and say, well, you know, we did what we could and now there's nothing more to do. It's by continually holding our representatives accountable for promises they made and then pushing harder on things that they think that we think need to be addressed more urgently, like oral health for people who are living with pain and constant pain and infection, and we're wasting money in the system.
Right.
We need to keep pushing, and the Oral Health Action Committee and people like Dana will continue to work with us in the community to do that.
Okay. If people want to, you know, you have access to a lot of statistics and things, and if people want to dig deeper into this issue, where can you direct them to learn more?
So the Poverty Task Force has got a website at www.gwpoverty.ca, and on that website there should be an oral health area, and within there the report that we did in 2015 would be available, the one page fact sheet that the Poverty Task Force has made available.
It's a very lovely infographic.
It would be would be available there as well. And if people still want more information, they can get in touch with me. My name is Peggy Nichols, and I'm a health promoter at the Guelph Community Health Center.
And I can be found usually Monday to Friday at Sheldale Family Gateway. So
yeah, great. And other organizations, you know, just ask at Public Health, ask the Poverty Task Force, ask at Hope House. All of those folks are involved with the Oral Health Action Committee.
Well, we'll see what happens on June 8th. And I know you guys are going to keep pushing this forward. And I think a lot of people are wishing you luck and got their fingers crossed for you on that. So Peggy Nichols and Dana Nutley, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us on. Yeah.
And once again, that was Peggy Nichols and Dana Nutley speaking for the Guelph Wellington Oral Health Action Committee. And you can find the 2015 Oral Health Status Report at Wellington, Dufferin, Guelph Public Health on their website under the reports sections at wdgpublichealth.ca, and you can also see the council-endorsed statement to the provincial government in the agenda of April's committee meeting of the whole at guelph.ca, and for more precise links, check the original show notes page for this podcast on Guelph Politico. And if you're listening to this on Wednesday or Thursday, don't forget to vote tomorrow or today. And don't forget, we'll be having the election night coverage on CFRU starting at 8 p.m. So tune into 93.3 FM or CFRU.ca to follow along with all the latest local results from across Guelph and the rest of Ontario, too. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph, and you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. Until then, we'll see you next time.